this show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com. And as part of the Deliberate Noise Network, you can go to deliberatenoise.com for more details. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. I had to laugh when I spell my name, and I usually do when I spell my name for my email. It's simply because at work, even though they can read that my name is spelled D-E-R-E-K, because we use, what's that stuff called? Outlook. We use Outlook, and we have our names. People still insist on putting two R's in there. You know, it's like, That just looks ugly. Anyway, this originally was going to be a private podcast for a friend of mine, David A. Price. But I decided to, you know, since it's something he can listen to at his leisure, why not make it a Sci-Fi Noise episode? Therefore, I don't have to say everything twice. All right, this is about Doctor Who. All right, now, Doctor Who is been a favorite of mine for years, decades even. My two favorite doctors, my three favorite doctors have been Tom Baker, because he was the first doctor that I knew of, that I used to watch back on PBS Saturday nights as a kid. Sylvester McCoy, he was a doctor that, once again, I used to watch, you know, back in the day. But not only did I watch him back in the day, but I always liked him, and I always thought he got a bad rap for the low ratings. Okay, the stories were not the greatest, the effects were not the greatest, but he was, I liked him, you know. There was something about him and Ace that I liked, you know. I just always have. So those two have been my favorites. And then the third one is Ben Tennant. Eccleston never really felt like the Doctor to me. You know, every now and then he would break out into a Tom Baker-ish smile. And I could see it, but at the same time, he always seemed like, whereas the Doctor was an explorer, this guy always seemed more like a soldier, you know. And that's just to me. It's just me. And Matt Smith, he grew on me, but he grew on me more because I was a big fan of Karen Gillan. Amy Pond, Amy and Rory, they're probably two of my favorite companions, period. Okay, so he grew on me. He never, once again, never really felt like the Doctor to me, but in between them was David Tennant, who actually felt more like the Doctor to me. He was sort of goofy, and right there, he could be goofy, he could be silly. He, one of my favorites. Simple, alright? It's really weird because I don't like wacky. And I sort of gravitated towards more the comedic doctors. But while they may look comedic and goofy, when they get serious, you know there's trouble a-brewing, you know? But Peter Capaldi came around, and I was, let's just say, apprehensive at best. Then I saw the episodes, you know, when he came out and kidneys and all that kind of stuff, I was like, eh, all right. But the more episodes they show of him, the more he's solidifying that he may find a way to break into that top three, right? Right now, he's definitely number four. I enjoy his portrayal more than any of the other doctors so far. The writers can still screw him up, I suppose, but he's up there, right? Now, I just want to get that out of the way, that Capaldi is one of my favorite doctors. All right, just period. He is one of my favorite doctors. The last two episodes are the ones that I was going to originally talk about to David. And the reason I'm leaving this as a voice message is because we usually just text back and forth, unless I know for a fact that he hasn't seen an episode or he hasn't finished watching an episode, then I will hold off. But then it occurred to me, I'm a podcaster. I can just talk. He doesn't have to listen. He can listen at his convenience, right? So the two I want to talk about are The Caretaker and the Kill the Moon, as well as a little bit about Listen, and maybe a couple of the others. If you haven't seen any of those, I'm not going to give a blow-by-blow description of the episode, but I will mention some things that could be considered spoilers, as well as a lot of what I call irresponsible speculation and meaningless... No, wait a minute. It's meaningless speculation. Can't remember. It's either meaningless speculation and irresponsible conjecture or irresponsible... No, it is. It's irresponsible speculation and meaningless conjecture. There you go. This is my saying, and I always mess it up. Anyway, so in other words, I'm about to pull some theories right out the innards of my ass. I'm pulling this out of my ass, folks. The Caretaker, I really like. That's probably one of my favorite Capaldi episodes. Period, right? I know some people who did not like it at all. I don't care. I liked it. It was goofy. It was serious. It seemed like an old school Doctor Who episode to me. It just really did. And then, of course, you know, they brought in, let's just say, more modern day aspects with a lot of personal crap. No offense to Danny Pink and Clara, but it just seemed, I don't really care about the romance. I like the romance story, but if I had, you know, my choice, I'd see more of the old school, there's something that shouldn't be there type of story, rather than what do you think, he likes me or don't he likes me? I don't really care about that kind of stuff, right? It's nice, but it's not why I tuned in, you know. And then it's weird because in Kill the Moon, I thought that it sort of lacked enough Danny Pink. You know, Danny Pink, I like that guy. But anyway, here's what I think. Now, I've said this online. I've said this to David. I think that what they're trying to do is set it up so that Clara, and Danny Pink are ancestors of the Doctor. Like, they are his parents or his grandparents, something like that. It's just a feeling I get. They keep dropping a lot of clues. And maybe it's all just, you know, red herrings or pink herrings. Anyway. But that's just... Those are just where the clues are pointing me towards. Clara has been one of those really weird types of characters. And that there's always been some sort of air of mystery around her. You know, there are other, there have been other companions and characters who've crossed the Doctor's path, especially since he's come back. Since Eccleston, where they have had less screen time, but at the same time, you feel as though you know them more than you do. Well, then I do. That's how I feel. Clara Oswald, you know, well, Rose Tyler's father. Right? He had, considerably less screen time than Clara Oswald. And yet, I feel as though there's really not a whole lot more to his story that can be told. And yet, it just seems like they're scratching the surface with Clara. You know, that's just how I feel. Maybe it's because these particular writers maybe they've thought these minor characters through more. You know, they're like, okay, here's this guy's story, beginning to end, boom, let's get these details out there, move on. And they haven't really, and they haven't done that yet with Clara. But she's always had sort of like an almost maternal affection for the Doctor. You know, she's been there to try and protect him most of the way, you know. What do they call her? The impossible girl. Well, I think it'd be pretty damn impossible if this, you know, 50 years later they start introducing the Doctor's parents. And that's just how I feel. Now, there was that the thing with Listen in the barn, where they've sort of hinted, I guess, at his foster parents, but they never really said much about his parents. They actually went out of their way to not show the adults during that time period. So that makes me think right there. And there's always these little things where she's just calling him, what, did she call him like her precious boy or something like that over and over again? I really need to watch some of these over again. But I just keep getting this feeling, right? Like, there was this one part in Kill the Moon where she's frustrated with him and she's really mad and she says that she'll hit him so hard he will regenerate. Now, I think probably a lot of people have had threats like that coming from their parents when they get frustrated. I mean, like I said online, I've been told plenty of times that I'd get knocked into the middle of next week. Right? So it's something that a parent would say, especially when they get mad. Even in this case where I don't think she knows she's a parent, right? And they just keep dropping a whole lot of hints, really subtle hints about parentage and just ancestry, period. And that's why I think that's how it's going to turn out. Now, will it be her and Danny Pink? Yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards. But even if it doesn't, I still think that she's mother, grandmother, something. I believe they are related somehow. Right? He acts like a petulant child towards her at times. Right? There are times, you know, when he just cannot understand how old she is. And I realize he's not a kid, but when dealing with your parents sometimes, you have to think, yeah, how old are they again? So, like I said, that's where I'm leaning. And this last episode, where she was just so mad at him, it just really just shines through, right? And then there's that little girl who was in there for some odd reason. I don't understand why she was in there. I watched The Caretaker. I don't recall seeing her being brought onto the TARDIS and they say, hey, yeah, you're going to be like a companion, right? Or a playmate or whatever. I must have missed something. It's not really out of the realm of possibilities, because I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and there was a big reveal in the season premiere that I completely missed until David mentioned it, you know? So that's what I think. I think that's where they're heading towards with this season, with Clara and Capaldi. I know that there are some people who are not going to agree with this theory. I know some people who are just really going to fight it all the way. But, yeah, that's what I think. And if it turns out to be true, well, then it appears as though even throughout all his regenerations and incarnations that we've had a black doctor all along. Anyway, let me know what you think. My email address is, once again, is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, @deliberatenoise.com. Thank you, and I'll be back soon with another episode.